We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's commercial-free hour coming your way. We'll talk a little bit more Brewers. We're going to talk some NFL free agency, some Packers, Marquette. They were in action last night. Tough loss for them. The Badgers continue to roll when playing at home. We'll also talk a little Blue Chew in about 15 minutes from now as well. But right now, I made a list of the top 100 NFL free agents, although I had to cross off number 2 as Drew Brees will return to the Saints. Coming off a year where he completed 74 of his passes, threw 27 touchdown passes to 4 interceptions. And we've been ragging on Drew Brees a little bit too much. Those numbers weren't so bad. Dak Prescott, Freems, is the number one NFL free agent. And as I am getting set for this and this list, my buddy actually just texted me and he said, I've been watching way too much ESPN. This is my buddy that I was telling you about. So he works in Chicago and he is a Chicago police officer. He was stabbed a few weeks back. So now he gets like a year off and then he gets a desk job. But he says he's been watching way too much ESPN. He said, all I've heard about is Giannis to Los Angeles, Giannis leaving Milwaukee, and for the last 48 hours, Dak Prescott wanting $40 million, $30 million a year. Dak Prescott, the number one NFL free agent. Do you think he ends up staying and sticking around with Dallas? Because there's a lot of rumors going around right now. There's rumors that maybe Dallas will go after Tom Brady, although there's also a rumor that the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm going to have to get used to that, are going to offer Tom Brady a 2-year deal worth $60 million. Do you think Dak Prescott's a Dallas Cowboy next year playing for Mike McCarthy?
I was on the TV, the Spectrum News 1 TV roundtable, filling in for Leroy Butler the other day.
Who are you with?
It was me and Gary Ellerson.
Okay.
Gary and Leroy do the show with Dennis Krause, but it was I fill in for one of the two if they're not there, and I was filling in for Leroy. And, you know, Gary and I went back and forth, and this. He thinks Tom Brady's going to end up in, which I think is would be unreal to think that Mike McCarthy is going to coach Tom Brady in Dallas.
That's what Gary thinks?
And I told Gary, I said, Gary, someone told, I mean, who knows? But I said, Gary, if I would have told you 2 years ago that there was even a remote possibility that Mike McCarthy would be coaching the Dallas Cowboys and coaching Tom Brady, I mean, that'd be so far removed from any bit of reality.
See, yeah, I mean,
but
you're going to have to.
Who knows? It could happen. I don't think it's going to. I think Dak's coming back to Dallas. And I think Tom is staying in New England. But maybe if Jerry Jones throws a whole bunch of cash at Tom Brady, why wouldn't he? I mean, Tom Brady's not going to play for $14 million this year. No. New England's got him for a discount all these years.
He ain't going to take that discount if he leaves New England. He's going to get paid.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
If he's leaving New England, he's going to get paid.
It was like LeBron kept taking discount after discount because LeBron wanted to win titles in Miami. Mm-hmm. He took a discount so Chris Bosh could get paid and Dwayne Wade could ultimately get paid. But then when LeBron left and went back to Cleveland, he was like, okay, I'm done taking discounts.
Sure.
I want to win my titles, but I also
don't blame
want
him.
That loot.
Don't
and
blame him.
The thing about Dak Prescott, okay, so I would rather pay Dak Prescott $30 million a year, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, look at these quarterback deals. They're all outrageous. Look what Jared Goff's making. Look what Ben Roethlisberger's making. People are arguing and bitching and moaning about Aaron Rodgers and his deal. Aaron Rodgers is the fourth or fifth highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Now, would you really take Ben Roethlisberger over Aaron Rodgers? I'm not getting into that argument. I already got people coming at me on Twitter because I made some Aaron Rodgers comment because I actually like the starting quarterback of my favorite team. Dak Prescott's only 27 years old, though. 30 touchdown passes last year to just 11 interceptions, completed 65% of his passes and averaged 8.2 yards per attempt. I'm paying Dak Prescott over 43-year-old Tom Brady.
I think Prescott still got room to get better, too. And I think that's one of the reasons why McCarthy was hired in Dallas, because I think they're going to bring Prescott back. And Jerry Jones looks at McCarthy and says, you know, look what he did for Aaron Rodgers. Let's see if he can do that for our young quarterback, too. And I think McCarthy could make Prescott better. I know we're all down on McCarthy around here, and all hate him, but
I think he's going to do good there.
Pretty good quarterback coach.
Yeah.
Good with the quarterback system.
I think the message just kind of wore thin with Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
And it was just, I feel like in 10 years, they're going to have a reunion tour, kind of like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers did, and they're going to kiss and make up, and they're going to realize, hey, we still like each other. We don't hate each other's guts. It was just a bad working relationship. Tom Brady, a funny thing about him, so he's 43 years old, and I looked this up, only one quarterback, Vinny Testaverde, all the way back in 2007, has attempted at least 100 passes in a season at age 43 or older. I don't know what Tom Brady's going to look like this year. He finished 17th in QBR last year. Vinny Testaverde, the only quarterback in NFL history, and you got to go back to 2007 to attempt at least 100 passes in a season at age 43. I don't even know if Tom Brady leaves and actually gets hit for the first time in his career, if he'll be able to hold up.
And do you realize Testaverde was almost drafted by the Green Bay Packers? When
yep.
I say almost, the Tampa had the overall number one pick that year,
mm-hmm.
but the Packers had started the season like 0-8, and they were well on their way to having the first round pick.
Who was the quarterback that year?
It was called the Vinny Testaverde Sweepstakes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I believe Ellerson was there at the time. I think he played on that 86 team that was so bad. And but they won a couple of games, so they ended up getting Brent Fulwood, who turned out to be a bust anyway. But, I mean, it could have changed the whole they could have been stuck with Testaverde all those years.
I remember hearing stories about that. Obviously, I wasn't even born yet, but I remember hearing about that. Yeah, you lucked out without Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, I mean, if they would have continued to lose in 86, they would have drafted Vinny Testaverde out of Miami with the first-round pick overall, number one. You know, Brett Favre would have never come here and... In 1992, Aaron Rodgers, they would have never got Aaron Rodgers. So,
but people would be so happy.
It worked out. What we see now is thanks to them winning a few games in 1986 and not having the draft Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, well, I'm glad the way it worked out. I know some people,
one Super Bowl for Favre, one for Rodgers.
Well, I love Dan Marino, and he won zero.
A lot of money, too.
Number four, and I'll get into the Packers side of this and who they should attempt to lure in free agency, but Philip Rivers, the fourth-rated free agent. Now, 38 years old, up and down 2019 season, which all the expectations for the Chargers though last year were that they could be a Super Bowl contender. Melvin Gordon held out. It was an absolute disaster there. Phillip Rivers, though, 20 interceptions last season, finished 22nd in QBR, which I know some people find that to be a meaningless stat. Where do you think Phillip Rivers ends up?
Tampa. I think he ends up in Tampa.
Where does Jameis end up? Tell me Chicago. God, I would love to see Jameis twice a year.
I think he's going to end up with a backup job somewhere.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I think he's going to, with the idea of maybe moving into that number one role, but Bruce Arians sounds like he's done with Jameis Winston in Tampa. And Phil Rivers, when I read somewhere that he's got a home down in Florida, so I'm connecting Phil Rivers to Tampa. I might be wrong on that, but if you're asking me where I think he's going to end up, I'm going to say Tampa and then followed closely by Indianapolis.
That'd be a good fit. If you're Phillip Rivers, I would kill to go play for Bruce Arians and go play for Tampa because, I mean, if you go back and you actually watch Tampa, they're a good football team. Their only problem is they turn the ball over way too many times because of Jameis. Now, Jameis can make pretty much every throw. I mean, everything is just deep ball or bust. Playing against Jameis Winston is kind of like playing against your 8-year-old brother in Madden. It's just verticals down the field, Hail Mary passes the entire time, but damn, does he have a great arm. But he just makes terrible decisions. But, man, that would be a great fit for Rivers because they're actually a pretty solid team. Like, they could stop the run. Defensively, they're solid. They have so many weapons. You got Mike Evans. I could see that being a good fit for Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, Winston got LASIK surgery done, but is that going to correct his bad decisions?
Isn't that a great story? If that would be maybe something that I would have kept a secret.
Yeah.
Unless you really, that was a make it or break it year and you led the league in interceptions once again. So you say, hey, I got LASIK surgery.
Oh, okay, let's sign him.
Right.
Now everything's good.
Right.
Got LASIK surgery. Now that must have been a problem. Now he's going to throw the right team.
It reminded me of when Rick Wild Thing Vaughn ended up getting glasses and then ended up leading the league in strikeouts the second half of the season for the Cleveland Indians back in the late 80s. Amari Cooper, number five on this list. He's been fantastic since joining the Cowboys. Some people thought that he may end up being a bust, but last year he finished eighth in the NFL, 1,189 receiving yards. So Michael Thomas just got a new deal from the Saints in July. Michael Thomas is going to make nearly $20 million a year. I think the exact number is 19 or something like that. Julio Jones got a new deal from Atlanta in September. He's going to make $22 million a year. So you have to figure Amari Cooper is going to be looking for a deal in the $20 million per range. Do you think the Packers will actually... throw that out there to bring in Amari Cooper?
Oh, God, no.
$20 million a year.
No, not at all. No, he's staying in Dallas.
He has to. I mean, the Cowboys gave up a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, he's not leaving.
I would not be surprised if I'm the Cowboys, I franchise tag him or I do that transition tag. That could be an option. Keep him for a year, have him do another make it or break it year under Mike McCarthy, because the only knock on Amari Cooper is, I mean, he has all the physical gifts in the world. I just brought up the statistics from last year, but towards the end of the year, there were some rumors that he gave up on the team when the Cowboys were struggling and on that losing streak.
If he doesn't resign in Dallas, you know what? Who a team always likes to pick up the Dallas Cowboy castoffs? The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, man, imagine him with Carson Wentz. There's rumors right now that the Eagles don't even want Alshon Jeffrey back in the locker room, that they're just done with Alshon. Would you make a move for Alshon Jeffrey at his age and his injury history? Because I would, that's a red flag for me. I would stay away from Alshon, which is crazy because a couple years back when he was in Chicago and he was paired with Brandon Marshall, I thought he was going to be a top 10 NFL wide receiver, but he just can't stay on the field.
I'm in desperation mode at the wide receiver spot for the Packers, in back of Devontae Adams.
As long as I never have to see Jake Kumerow play a meaningful snap. And I love him. Local legend. He can play special teams, but...
No, he can block a little bit. But I'm in desperation mood from the number two receiver spot through the fifth. I said on TV the other day, I said, get rid of all four of those guys. If you want to bring back Lazard, I think he's the one guy who might come back. But the rest
cheap.
Of them, forget it. Yes.
Yeah, I would take Lazard back. Not only because Lazard showed such flashes, but his relationship with Aaron Rodgers and the fact that on third down, Rodgers trusts Lazard on third down. Look, all of his big grabs are on third down.
But not as the number two receiver.
No,
you got to bring somebody. You got to bring somebody in better than Allen.
Hell no, he's a fourth or fifth option if you want to win a Super Bowl.
But of course, I would take Amari Cooper here. Yes, I just don't think it's going to happen. I'd love to have him.
I just don't think you could pay Devontae Adams what you pay Devontae Adams. And then if you pay Amari Cooper $20, $22 million, Devontae's probably going to want to redo that deal, because that's what we keep seeing with these receivers. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham Jr. gets a deal. 2 years later, he wants another deal, say with Julio Jones. And then teams like Atlanta end up giving it to him because they're so desperate. Number six on my list, Chris Jones, who had a huge season, defensive tackle with the Chiefs. He's only 26 years old, and I think he's the most underrated player in all of football. When you think pass rushers, we talk about Khalil Mack. But Chris Jones, defensive tackle, especially with, we don't know what the future with Kenny Clark is, 31 sacks over the last three seasons. That's 10th most in the NFL. Ripped that game up in the Super Bowl. He was disruptive, and he doesn't even turn 26 actually until July. So he's only 25 years old right now. He's only missed three games in four seasons, so you don't have to worry about the injuries. Probably 5-year, $90 million, though. That's what Trey Flowers got from Detroit, so that's probably what he'd be looking for. I'd probably rather pay Kenny Clark, I guess, but, man, imagine having both of those guys.
I don't think he's leaving Kansas City. He's a fan favorite with the Chiefs.
Franchise
People
tag.
Like him. Yeah, he's coming back. He's not going anywhere.
Jadeveon Clowney, 27 years old. He had that core muscle injury last season. Three sacks, 13 QB hits, seven tackles for a loss. Numbers not great. What about Jadeveon Clowney?
I don't think he's going to quite earn the cash he got last year. I think he's going to have to take a little bit of a hit on that area because of the injury history. I heard that he could end up in Miami. I don't know why you'd want to go to a bad franchise like that, but I heard that maybe Miami might be interested in him. Would you throw that type of cash at this guy again if he can't stay healthy?
See, I wouldn't. The Seahawks are going to make a strong push, obviously, for him, but he also had that preseason trade. Because of it, the Seahawks actually agreed not to use the franchise tag on him, so that's not even an option. They have to re-sign him. They can't do the one-year deal. So he either has to re-sign in Seattle or hit the open market at 27 years old. It'll
could
be interesting to see.
Could they do a sign and trade maybe with him? I don't know. I don't know. I don't see him getting a long-term deal that's going to be anywhere near the one that he was just coming off of.
Yeah, I got Byron Jones at number nine, but I don't know that the Packers are going to make a move for another cornerback. 27 years old, but you'd have to pay him probably $16 to $17 million a year. You already have Jair Alexander. This is going to be a huge year for Kevin King. I mean, it's pretty much a prove-it year. Are you going to get a big deal, or are you not? So I don't think that they make a move there. Justin Simmons available, safety for the Broncos, only 26 years old, had 15 passes defended, which was good enough for ninth in the league last season. Also, four interceptions. But you're pretty much set at the safety position as you drafted Darnell Savage Jr. and Adrian Amos is coming back. Ryan Tannehill comes in at number 11 on this list, 32 years old, career year, completed 70% of his passes, 9 yards per attempt in a season. You think he's back in Tennessee, or do you think Tennessee is going to maybe make a phone call for, I don't know, a Phillip Rivers, maybe a Dak Prescott?
No, I think he could thank Derrick Henry for whatever contract he's going to get in Tennessee, because I think he's going to stay with the Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, Derrick, I mean, we joke about that, you know, about a month ago when Tennessee was involved in the playoffs and make it a little run there after beat Baltimore.
I'd kill for Derrick Henry to pair with Aaron Jones.
Derrick Henry is just unbelievable.
Nobody would stop that.
Yeah. I mean, you got a guy like that, you can't take down, who could burst up for a 75-yard run right up the gut. You put not anybody back there. I always thought Tannehill was a competent quarterback. It's just he had a career year this past year.
Everything he did, though, was off play action. So if you do shut down the run, which is tough to do when you have Derrick Henry, obviously, but let's say Henry leaves with an injury, he would have been exposed because everything was off the play action. So yeah. If you stack the box, they're screwed. Shaq Barrett, edge rusher with the Bucs, 27 years old. Here's what I would want. I want another edge rusher. He led the NFL 19 and a half sacks, was tied for first with 37 quarterback hits, was also third with 6 forced fumbles. Crazy stat, he produced a sack or quarterback hit on 11% of his pass rush chances, which is the fourth best among the 172 players who had at least 200 pass rush opportunities. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. As I just talked about Tampa Bay, though, their pass rush is solid. Their defensive line is solid. I think that they are probably going to use either the franchise tag or they're going to pay him a lot of money. I could see him getting, man, I don't even know. But he played last year for a one-year, $4 million deal. What are the Packers going to do with Kenny Clark as we talk about this? We should maybe talk about our own guys. Mm-hmm. Is Kenny Clark coming back?
Yeah, I think so. I thought he'd be signed to an extension already. But I think he's coming back. I don't think they'll let him test free agency. I think he'll come back in the team. He's a big part. They need him on the defensive line. Now they need help behind him at the middle linebacker spot. But you know, I think Kenny Clark is, I think he is for sure coming back. The you know, first round pick, you better re-sign him. He's a capable guy. He can suck up tacklers. He can stop the run. Okay, but he just needs some help on the defensive line and at the linebacking core in the middle there.
Right, so I'm just going to scratch off a lot of these names. I want to focus really quick before we bounce back over to the Brewers on the linebacker position, because it looks like, especially with the postseason press conference where Blake Martinez was in tears talking about his tenure in Green Bay, most likely you're not bringing back Blake Martinez. A couple linebackers on the board, arguably the best is Corey Littleton, 26 years old only, 3-down linebacker. Was pretty solid in 2020, had 5 interceptions, so he could actually cover. Boom, you want to talk about Blake Martinez coverage, 5 interceptions, 7.5 sacks, and 15 tackles for loss. That's over the last 2 seasons. He's never missed a game due to injury, and only 5 players have more tackles than him over the past 2 seasons. Only 26 years old. If I'm Gutekunst, I will do anything for Corey Littleton. That's the kind of linebacker that you need in Green Bay. You need somebody that could cover. I think the 49ers and the teams that were actually contending last year proved that. You can't just have a slow, run-stopping middle linebacker. And I love Blake Martinez, but I think he's done in Green Bay, especially with the money that Blake Martinez thinks he's going to get. Well, I don't think there's any chance he's back.
No. And what are you going to do? Are you going to have him? You going to have him play a secondary role? You need to do better at linebacker. I mean, the run defense was so bad in Green Bay. If you bring him back, he's definitely not going to be a starter on those run packages.
Right. No, absolutely.
Or the pass packages, for that matter. So I think he knows. He sees the writing on the wall there that he's not coming back.
A couple more names I want to throw at you really quick. A.J. Green, going back to the wide receiver position. That's a name we threw out last season.
No,
we all
wanted
him. We wanted Emmanuel Sanders. 32 years old, however, did not play a snap in 2019. He's missed 13 games from 2016 to 2018 as well. Looks like the Bengals are saying all the right things. The Bengals are saying they're going to try to hold on to him. And what that means is they're probably going to have to either give him a contract extension or use that franchise tag at 32 years old. That might be the safe way to play it out. If I'm AJ Green, though, I'm weighing my decisions right now. Obviously, I'm 32 years old. I want to go play for a winner. I want to go play in New England. I want to go play for in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. But on the other hand, you got Joe Burrow coming to town, and I think Joe Burrow, he may be good right away. And we were talking about this with Bill Michaels, actually. Me and Bill were talking about this at the last huddle, and he's like, that ownership, the Bengals are just such a disaster, they'll never be good. That organization is crap. And I completely agree with what Bill said. That is a terrible organization, maybe the worst in pro football. But still, I feel like Joe Burrow is going to be so damn good that even the Bengals won't be able to hold him back. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with A.J. Green. But 32 years old, would you take a shot with him?
Oh, of course it would. Like I said, I'm in desperation mode at receiver, but that's not being desperation, wanting to have A.J. Green on my roster. That's going out there and acquiring some big-time talent.
Right, exactly.
Even though he's 32 years old, but I'm not talking about a seven-year deal for the guy. Can I get him to make it through the next 2 years is all I'm asking.
Right. See, the thing that scares me about A.J. Green is it just reminds me, like, yeah, they didn't want to pay Jordy Nelson a couple of years back because he was getting a little bit older. Gutekunst didn't want to pay him. What drove me nuts about that deal is you brought in Jimmy Graham, who was 5 years past his prime. So some of these names, like Greg Olsen yesterday, signs a deal with the Seahawks.
Now, that I'm mad at.
Are you? Okay.
Oh, my, I'm mad at that.
Okay, because that just reminds me of Jimmy Graham, though.
No, but they have Olsen? Now, the Bears should never let him go to begin with.
No, and him and Jay Cutler were best friends, too.
Yeah, I mean, he should. I'm glad he didn't stick with the Bears, but I mean, how the Bears let this guy walk was unreal. But he is a guy, man, when I saw Seattle sign him, I was pissed, man. How come we weren't in on that deal? Bring that guy up in Green Bay.
I just like him, too.
The hard nose toughness, that's what he brings. That's what they need at the tight end spot. Man, scrap everybody. Scrap Sternberger. I mean, Robert Tonyan, I'd forget he even played the Packers.
Yeah,
Jimmy Graham, forget it.
Yeah.
Bring in Olsen, and you got something there.
Well, they're definitely cutting Jimmy Graham. There's absolutely no way that he's on this roster.
Get rid of all those tight ends. They ain't even helping you win.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I mean, if you want Sternberger as your backup, okay. But if you had a shot at this guy, why didn't you sign him? He was cut by Carolina. They didn't want him anymore. Could have signed him.
Yeah.
He was out there.
I love Greg Olsen, too. I think he's going to be a great broadcaster. I like listening to him on these XFL broadcasts. Has a player ever been a current player and also broadcasted at the same time besides Greg Olsen? I was trying to go back and think. I can't remember an instance.
What do you mean? Broadcast his own sport?
Yeah, he does. Well, he did the NFL game because he was injured a couple years back. So he did color commentary on the broadcast. And then he does XFL broadcasts, too. And he's a current player.
Who was the Chicago Bear that would fly to New York once a week to do the Around the NFL show on HBO?
Oh, and they hated it. That was Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall did it, yes.
And then he went to the Jets, and they said, you absolutely cannot do this.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him drive like 10 miles to do the show, yet the Bears were allowing him to, on that Tuesday day off, to fly across the country to tape a half-hour TV show.
Yeah, good example there. I forgot about that. Yeah. Man, what a mess the Bears were. What a mess Brandon Marshall's whole career was. A couple edge rushers that I want to throw out there. Dante Fowler's only 26 years old. He signed a one-year deal, $12 million last offseason to stay with the Rams. They were a disaster. I think he was thinking Super Bowl. He actually set career highs, 11.5 sacks, 16 quarterback hits, 16 tackles for loss last season. He produced a sack or quarterback hit on 5.9% of his pass rush opportunities. That was 57 out of 172 quality players. He's young, plays a premium position. I would kill for Dante Fowler, only 26 years old. I don't think they're going to be able to afford him. Bud Dupree, another edge rusher with the Steelers, only 27 years old. Now, he's an outside linebacker, an edge rusher. He's better suited for a 3-4 defense, a 3-4 scheme, but he had career highs, 11.5 sacks, 17 quarterback hits, 16 tackles for a loss. So the edge rushers are there. Derrick Henry, you already brought his name up. He's a free agent. Zero chance that Tennessee's letting him walk. If anything, they're using the franchise tag with him.
And zero chance of them bringing another edge rusher. They just paid for two edge rushers.
Right. You can't. Yeah, exactly. Robbie Anderson, 27 years old, wide receiver with the Jets. He's available. Emmanuel Sanders, no thanks, 33 years old. I was cool if they wanted to do that at the deadline last year to try to win this season, but no thank you at that age. Coming in at number 30 real quick, I just want to throw this out there at you. Brian Bulaga, 31 years old, started 30 of 32 games over the past two seasons. We ripped Brian Bulaga way too much for him always being injured. And he's injured. He leaves games. I mean, he obviously sat out the playoff game because he had the flu. It was coming out on both ends. Nothing you could do when that happens. But he started 30 of 32 games over the past two seasons and 111 overall during his 10-year career with the Packers. He only allowed four sacks last season. So do you think the Packers are going to bring back Brian Bulaga? Are they going to do what they did with Josh Sitton, with TJ Lang, and with fellow linemen in the past and just say, hey, your best days are behind you. See ya.
That is one of the million-dollar questions. If he had not had the year that he had this past year and he was so good at holding up against the rush, I would say yes, they'd be done with him and they would do what they did with Josh Sitton and just maybe cut him at training camp or somewhere in the offseason. But I don't know. I think he's coming back on the team. I think they have yet to groom that right tackle to take his spot. They have, but again, Bulaga, he played hurt for a lot of the year anyway. I mean, yeah. Even though when he played, he was hurt.
Right.
And there was a game he was sick. That was the game he missed. He tried to give it a go during pregame, and he just couldn't because he was out there trying to play with the flu. But I have a feeling he's coming back.
All right, one more linebacker, two more tight ends, and then we'll move on real quick since it's not football season, but I just have the itch for it. Joe Schobert, linebacker, Browns.
Waukesha West,
Wisconsin legend. He's only 26 years old. All right, over the past three seasons, only three players have produced more tackles. He has 378, Joe does. He also has six interceptions and seven forced fumbles during this stretch. Three players have had more tackles only in the NFL during the last three seasons. They are Blake Martinez, Bobby Wagner, and Luke Kuechly. Would you rather have Thunder Joe or would you rather have Big Blake?
Well, I take Luke Kuechly.
Well, you can't have Luke Kuechly.
He retired. Can he unretire?
He can, but he's most likely going to be back in Carolina if that happens.
Yeah, no. I mean, Schobert, take him or leave him. I mean, I think he's coming back to Cleveland now.
Yeah. So would you bring back Blake Martinez over him?
No.
You go Joe?
Oh, of course.
All right. Two tight ends, and then we'll move on. Hunter Henry, tight end with the Chargers. He's only 25 years old. The only problem I have with Hunter Henry is he's just never healthy. He's played in 41 games over four NFL seasons. When he is on the field, I mean, he caught 55 passes for 652 yards, five touchdowns in 12 games last season. He's posted 71% catch rate in four seasons, so he could catch the ball, rarely drops it, but he's never on the field. He's 25 years old. Hunter Henry, or would you rather have Austin Hooper, also 25 years old, coming off a career year, 75 grabs, 787 yards, six touchdowns. I guess we would take either of them. I'd rather have Hooper just because he's able to stay on the field a little bit more. They are the same age. But do you think the Packers are going to shell out money for a tight end on a guy like Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper, or do you think they're just going to go with Sternberger and with the other crew?
Well, I would have liked to see Greg Olsen. Did I mention that? Greg Olsen? I would have liked to have seen them go after him.
You did.
Okay, well. Then I would like to see them, if they couldn't get Greg Olsen, Austin Hooper or Hunter. I think there's a lot of teams out there who are looking for tight ends, like teams like the Redskins. They're trying to decide, well, do we want Hooper or Hunter Henry? I'd take either one of those guys. I'd take both of them.
Same.
At the same time. Just dynamic tight ends. They're the complete package. Both of those guys, complete package. I know that Henry, as you mentioned, has got a little injury history, but man, both guys are better than what we got now at tight end.
Right, especially with the Matt LaFleur offense. I wouldn't mind having two solid tight ends either. I mean, look what New England did for years. I mean, yeah.
Well, look what some of these teams out there do with a great tight end.
Look what the Colts did with Eric Ebron and even Jack Doyle. Yeah. And Eric Ebron, there's another name I actually wanted to throw at you because he's 27 years old. He will not be back with the Colts because he decided to go on IR with that ankle issue, and the Colts were like, we didn't even know you were hurt, so he's not coming back. But 2018, 2 years ago, granted, this is with Andrew Luck, 66 grabs, 750 yards, and 13 touchdowns. He's only 27 years old. This would be his third team because obviously he was drafted by the Lions, spent the last couple of years with the Colts. But 27 years old, would you take a shot with Eric Ebron? Because I sure as hell
I feel like Ebron should be like 37 at this point.
I know.
Don't you feel like if he was like the tight end back when Barry Sanders played with the Lions?
Yeah, dropping passes for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes to the Colts and has a career year.
Only 27, man. That's a long 5 years he's been in the league. I would say, of course, yeah, I would take him. You know, I think the tight ends, you look at the tight ends who did damage. You know, I think Ebron is pretty good, but he's not like Kelsey in Kansas City. I like Ertz in Philadelphia. If Ertz is available, I would love to have a guy like that.
I'd kill
never,
for him.
Never leave in Philadelphia.
Kelsey I'd kill for. Guys that you have no shot at.
Yes.
I'm just thinking of some of the top tight ends.
And, of course, Kittle in San Francisco. I mean, I'd love to have any one of those three guys or someone a facsimile of either one of those three guys. If you can get something like that, and you're in business.
The Especially Packers since
have
they
block. Have nobody like that.
Right. And then you could cut ties with Mercedes Lewis, because I love Mercedes Lewis, get me wrong.
But Aaron Rodgers, I have
But he's a glorified tackle.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the one guy Aaron Rodgers wants back. Out of anybody, he wants Mercedes Lewis. That's his best friend on the team.
Well, that's probably a good thing if you don't want Mercedes Lewis back, because who Rodgers wants back, he rarely gets back. You could go all the way back to Charles Woodson when he was advocating to keep him. You could go to Jordy Nelson, then you could go to Randall Cobb. So if he wants him back, there's no shot that they're bringing back Mercedes Lewis, luckily. One last thing real quick. Melvin Gordon, 27 years old, set out the start of last season, three down back. What do you think Melvin Gordon ends up? You just have no idea, because right now I couldn't even name a team.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not Green Bay.
No.
Obviously. Although, you know, I think we talked about this early in the season last year. What would you give up for Mel Gordon? But I think we're good at running back.
Yeah.
We got other ways to spend this money.
Way too many holes on this team still, yeah. Even though they were a game away from the Super Bowl. Going back and looking at the point differential and whatsoever, I think that the Packers are going to regress this season. Last year, I predicted 12-4, then went 13-3. This year, I'm thinking like 9-7, 10-6, but I fear 8-8, 7-9 regression. I hate to say it, but
I just think it's too early to make predictions. This is way too early predictions on the Packers because I think they're going to be active in free agency. There's some guys on this roster who I don't think are going to be back next year, and I think that they're going to make some more acquisitions to help this team. And, of course, I think the draft is going to help them out a little bit too.
Yeah, I think so too. The Bucks off, but they're back tomorrow night taking on the Detroit Pistons. We will have post-game coverage right after that game on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show. Baby Tausch, along with Bucks legend Sidney Moncrief. We're going to continue to talk with you guys. We will, when we come back, Rob Manfred, I want to get back into that because a lot of social media reaction coming up right now. Is he ruining the game of baseball? And with what's going on with the Brewers, a lot of you guys calling them cheap, operating in the red, with all the scandals going on, what's going on in Houston with Rob Manfred putting his foot in his mouth, has the game kind of been tainted for you a little bit? We're back in 30 seconds here on The Fan. It's a commercial-free hour on Chuck and Winkler.
I will say this, you know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
It has been a rough couple weeks, couple months for Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart Winkler. Bart back tomorrow. It is Chuck and Winkler. Still about 25 minutes to jump on the program if you'd like. 414-799-1250 is Rob Manfred ruining baseball. With what's going on with the Brewers, as you look at this roster, like, are you excited at all for baseball season? I know I kind of asked you this yesterday, and I know you are a little bit frames, but, man.
First game is Saturday.
I'm already.
First spring training game is Saturday already.
Get me football. Give me the NBA back, for the love of God. What, 24 more hours about I got?
Yeah, I can't wait for the conference tournaments in college basketball.
Give me those.
I'm the conference. And, of course, March Madness, you know, and that takes us right up to opening day. Takes us right up to open. Or, you know, actually, it takes us into the second week of baseball season. Opening day now is, you know, that is the regional semifinals in college basketball. But, you know, I'm done with football. Not done with talking about football. But I mean, as far as
you're moving on,
I'm moving on to free agency, and when we get to the draft. But you know, this basketball season, I'm all in on the Bucks coming up here, and you know they're about to give Detroit their monthly ass whipping that they do. You know, they go to Detroit, whether they play them, they could play Detroit at home or they could play them at Cobo Arena.
When's the last time the Pistons beat the Bucks? 72.
I think Bill Laimbeer, 1989. They beat them in the playoffs.
And is there a worse team to watch? And I love Derrick Rose, don't get me wrong, but Drummond's gone. Blake Griffin, don't care. The Pistons may be the most boring team in the entire NBA, and I'm just ready for that season series to be done with. I'm looking forward to this weekend, though, Bucks 76ers.
Saturday night, yeah.
They were just here. I'm looking forward more. I know, and we just saw the Sixers, but I'm looking more forward to that than college hoops this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the ticket prices. I looked at the secondary market, $100 a piece. Come on, $100 a piece? Ridiculous.
Do you think, going back really quick to Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred, do you think that we're going to see a strike 2021-2022?
Yeah.
I think so.
In baseball, I think so. Well, we'll see how tough the owners are this time around. You know, they've been able to avoid it the last, like, 3 or 4 collective bargaining agreements. They've been able to come to terms. But I think this time, sounds like the players are kind of digging in a little bit.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, I mean, especially with everything that's going on right now, it's hard for me to get into the game because, like I said, I like to focus on what's going on the field. Christian Yelich playing left field. Will there be any regression? Is Lorenzo Cain going to bounce back? What the hell is this pitching rotation going to look like? Is Brandon Woodruff going to have a Cy Young-type season? Instead, we're talking about how rich guys should spend their money, and it's just I can't get into it right now. Well, I mean, I have to for my job, but I don't care.
You get the opening day with the Brewers, and you say, "Who are these guys? Where's my Eric Thames? Where's my Mike Moustakas? All right, where are those guys? Where are the guys who won me games over the last few years?" And you look at the field and you say, "Well, there's Christian Yelich. I recognize him. Oh, Lo Kane is back. Okay, who's that playing first base? Justin Smoke. Who's playing? Sogard is back. Who's that catching? Who's this Garcia in right field?" I mean, there's a lot of guys we're gonna have to become familiar with real quick because we don't know these guys,
right?
We don't know these guys because we're just unfamiliar with them.
No, absolutely.
We got used to the guys who won games for us.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And so you got Rob Manfred. He's entering his sixth season as commissioner in Major League Baseball. This is a big year for him, and I don't know what you do here, how you move on, but is there a worse look for a commissioner of a league when players are just openly coming out and just ripping you? I mean, we heard it yesterday. We played back some of that audio. You got guys like Mike Trout. You got guys like Chris Bryant, who's probably the nicest person on the planet. You got Christian Yelich. You got Ryan Braun. You got the managers. Everybody's just coming out and pretty much calling this guy an idiot. How do you fix this problem, though, with Rob Manfred? And how do you fix baseball? How do you make sure that there's no more banging on the trash cans? How do you make sure that nobody's wearing wires? I mean, that should be easy. Hell, you might have to, like when you go into the airport from now on, you might have to search these guys for a wire, like a wiretap ring, like when the mafia, like in The Sopranos.
Well, this is the second time Major League Baseball's been duped. You know, the steroid thing, you know, where they turned their back on it and they knew about it, or these guys were openly doing steroids. They let it happen, okay? And as a result, you know, a few guys aren't going to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame because of it. And now baseball's ashamed of it when they let it go for so many years. And you know what, this whole thing about sign stealing?
Yeah. I don't care about sign stealing. That's going to, I mean, there's no
way.
They
knew this was going on.
Oh, for years.
I mean, how do you not know the Astros were stealing? The instant replay system that they use in baseball, this is in the corner of the dugout, just a few feet away from where these monitors were that the Astros had.
Right.
How did they not know this was going on? They had to know this was going on.
They did. It's just, I mean, it's like the juice ball. It's just, it's always something with baseball.
But then Mike Fier spoke up about it, and the baseball realized they had to get involved. But you had to know. I mean, Manfred could not have been that dumb. People in Major League Baseball, tell me you're not that stupid that you didn't know that this was happening with the Houston Astros. You just didn't want to investigate into it. You were hoping it was going to go away.
Well, that's what's
interesting. But you had to know. They got away with it. You're telling me you never heard rumblings until Mike Fiers mentioned something that the Astros were cheating? Come on. For the last 3 years, there's been rumblings that guys, that the sign stealing was going on electronically. Yeah. Just like steroids. You knew that was going on, too. Did nothing about it.
Right. And I would argue that was actually the best era of baseball. I love the steroid era. And I know I probably shouldn't say that. But, man, that home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
But see, like,
same baseball. Barry Bonds.
He doesn't want to acknowledge Barry Bonds as his home run champ, but he knew it was going on.
Right.
You know, Mark McGwire, his chase of Roger Maris, he didn't want to acknowledge that now, but he knew it was going on.
Well, I find it interesting. They keep asking all these positional players, like I keep bringing up Chris Bryant because I listened to that interview yesterday, and they were like, you know, did you know this was going on? And he's like, well, I didn't, but I'm sure some of these pitchers did. Do you think that I would like to see a percentage? I would like to see guys come out and say, like, we knew this was going on. We didn't know this was going on. It's just so interesting because I feel like people probably had their doubts or maybe thought that something was going on, but I don't think anybody really knew for sure because somebody would have came out and said something, like somebody from New York or you know, I don't know. I just feel like you wouldn't be able to keep something like this quiet if you're losing out on money, if you're losing out on jobs, and if you're not going to win a World Series because a team's going to defeat you that's cheating. I feel like somebody would have came out and said it. Now, maybe Manfred knew it was going, but I don't. You think he did?
Well, if so many players were in on it, okay, how did other teams not know this? How did, you're telling me all these guys on the Astros, everybody in that roster, kept the secret all these years?
See, what I think is a lot of guys are afraid to call out other guys because unless you are completely squeaky clean, like I always make this case, like don't rat on anybody or don't bring up anything if you have skeletons in your closet. So that's what I think a lot of it has to do with is maybe somebody doesn't want to come out and say something about the sign stealing because they're doing something illegal. I think a lot of that, like, oh man, like we know this is going on, but if we come out and we bring this up, we might get popped for something because I think every team has their way of cheating the system. whether it be sign stealing, banging of the trash cans, wearing wires, or just things less than that. Like we brought up, like doctoring the ball up a little bit, or maybe rubbing a little jalapeno on the ball to add a couple of miles per hour to your fastball, or some drop on your curve or something like that. So I feel like every team is trying to find an advantage, and that's just professional sports. So maybe if some teams or some players did have an idea of what was going on in Houston, they didn't want to come out and say anything because they got skeletons in their closet, and we know how that works. Like if you come out and rat somebody out, that person or somebody in that organization is going to do a lot of digging and get a private investigator and find out some crap about you as well.
So what is Manfred going to do to prevent people from cheating the system in the future? I haven't heard anything on that yet.
Right.
I mean, what? How come Manfred
is working on it?
Well, I hope so. But, I mean, okay, he's not going to punish the Astro players or, you know, take away the World Series trophy, the scrap piece of iron. But, okay, but what's he going to do? How come he hasn't delivered a message and saying, this is what we're going to do in the future? If it was Roger Goodell, he'd be up there saying, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
If anybody does this stuff ever again, all right, it's going to cost you the pocketbook. Players are going to get suspended. And this happened to us once, but this, I guarantee this is not going to happen to us again.
I heard a couple national hosts make the argument, and they're like, is Manfred really that bad of a commissioner, or is it just a tough job? And he brought up how, you know, 2-3 years ago, Roger Goodell was the worst thing to ever happen to professional sports. You know, you could go back to the NBA. Adam Silver's love. But before that, I mean, there have been some things like this going on for a while in professional sports. And there's guys just arguing that maybe it's just a tougher job. But my problem with Manfred, it's not clear what you could do to the Astro players. Like, you don't know that you can't suspend these guys for 162 games. I mean, you can, but they're not going to do that because we know how that works,
but it
with the union
like,
and whatnot.
It just sounds like Manfred's not connected to the game.
Right, but there's nothing clear like of how to punish these players or how to punish the organization. You could take $5 million or whatever it is away from them, but it's baseball. That $5 million, that's chump change to them.
Well,
so the argument is, how do you punish these players? So, like, that's not the reason I continue to destroy Rob Manfred because of the punishment or lack thereof for the players, but it's like, instead of... My problem is he's defending them, I guess, Like, there could be no retaliation or that team's going to be in trouble. I guess that's my issue, is that he's defending these guys rather than really punishing them. Like, he didn't take any money out of their pockets. He took money from an already rich billionaire, and he took $5 million that guy could pee out and not even notice.
Well, let's do something. Okay, it, what happened in Houston, you can't do anything about it now. You know, you can't go back and suspend guys. You can't lay any more punishments because you said basically this is all that's going to happen.
Right.
And it's play on. But how about laying a law down in the future saying if this stuff ever happens again, if I find anything happening like this again.
Cut your hands off.
We're going to do some, there's going to be some, there's going to be suspensions, there'll be lifetime bans. You know, I mean, they had no problem banning Pete Rose from baseball forever, okay?
It's bad that soccer gets it. Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but you know what? Baseball, you know, these guys cheat. And they're still allowed to play. Let's get some tough rules because there's nothing against this now. But Manfred needs to come out and say, hey, you know, in the future, some of these guys are cheating. Some of these guys are electronically stealing signs.
Right.
In any form, there's going to be some heavy prices, and this is what's going to happen.
And I'll tell you this:
your suspension.
If I'm a Major League Baseball manager or a player, I'm trying to get an advantage right now. I'm thinking, how am I going to cheat next season? Because even if we get caught, we're not going to get punished. No money's coming out of our wallets. Nothing's coming out of our pockets. What are we going to get? A slap on the wrist? A warning? A press conference talking about how what we did was wrong? I'd be trying to find an advantage right now. It is Chuck and Winkler. He's Chuck Freeman. You can find him on Twitter there. I'm Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart Winkler. Bart will be back with us tomorrow morning from 6 to 10. 414-799-1250. Your thoughts on the current state on Major League Baseball. We'll go out to Burlington, talk with Corey. Corey, good morning. What's up, man?
Hey, Corey.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I don't have the answer for what they should do here. I mean, it's being horribly mismanaged, this Astro situation. But I just think MLB does a terrible job of marketing their sports. They, you know, in the social media age when you can text your buddy and say, oh, hey, did you see this really awesome play that happened in the NBA or the NFL? You can go on Twitter, get a replay. MLB bans all that. So how are they going to grow their game and inspire young people to play it, especially young people who are so addicted to their social medias when, you know, they're not even letting people consume it the way that we consume sports these days? You know, playing playing playoff games at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday. Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't want people to watch these games?
Yeah, I think their idea of doing that, and you know, baseball playoff games have always been daytime deals. I mean, there's always been a game, you know, back when they had the National League Championship Series and the American League. The beauty was you'd come home from school at 2 o'clock, a game would be on. But I think they don't want games going competing against each other. I think that's the reason why they do that.
Yeah, but every sport, all sports are doing it now, where you can't get a game outside of prime time hours. It also used to be the case where NBA playoff games were on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, and you can't get a daytime playoff game in the NBA anymore. So I don't know. Between that and just not marketing your guys right, you know, people, gentleman who took the call said it, and he's right. If you saw Mike Trout walking down the street, 90% of people wouldn't even know who he is because of how poor of a job the MLB does at marketing its young players.
But I don't know how you fix that, though. I don't know how you fix that to get Mike Trout out there or Christian Yelich out there. I don't know.
You got to get creative with the way that
The NBA figures it out.
But the NBA, these guys, but I mean, has the NBA done anything really to market LeBron? I mean, these advertisers are going to LeBron.
Okay, well, the NBA is a bad example because you know James Harden, you know LeBron James. They don't have hats on. They're not wearing helmets. But, like, look at professional football. Tom Brady, you see him for 3.5 hours every Sunday on your television. He's wearing a helmet. Aaron Rodgers walks into the building. Hell, you could go back, like, Sean Merriman could walk into a building, and I'd be like, hey, I remember him. There's lights out. Yeah. So football does a good job of marketing their players, and these guys are wearing helmets for 4 hours once a week. Major League Baseball, right, these guys are just in hats, and still nobody knows these faces. Like, Mike Trout could go into Pick and Save. Nobody would have any clue who he was.
But that goes back to the NBA. It's got a national brand. NFL, people watching Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football. People aren't watching the Astros and Dodgers on a Sunday Night Baseball game or a Wednesday Night Baseball game on ESPN. Or Monday Night Baseball. It's not that way anymore.
There's soccer players that could walk into a grocery store and they'd be recognized right away, whereas Mike Trout would not be. You know, Christian Yelich locally, obviously, but if, let's say, Yelich is just roaming around Indiana, how many people are going to notice who he is?
Sure.
Everybody would know these international soccer stars. They do a better job at promoting their players. But I don't know. That's just me.
You know who really draws?
Thanks, Corey.
Pro wrestlers.
Oh, hell yeah.
We had the late Roddy Piper in the building. We had him on for 2 hours. This is about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, this building was upside down that Roddy Piper was in the building. But if we brought, I suppose if we brought Christian Yelich, it might be different. But if we brought in Brandon Woodruff, the number one starter.
Yeah.
Walk right down the hallway. People would say, oh, there's a Milwaukee Brewers. Oh, Brandon Woodruff. Oh, he pitches for the Brewers.
Right. It'd be like if the Milkman came in.
Yeah.
Or whatever the
Google comes to the building. You know, that's a little different. Or, you know, Chris Middleton comes to the building. I think the building's a little, you know, the Bucks are a different state right now.
Ersan walks in the building.
Ersan?
There would be a line wrapped around this building right now if he was signing autographs. If DJ Wilson was signing autographs at Target right now,
yeah,
there would be a line miles down the road to go and meet him.
Brandon Woodruff, you think anybody, Brandon Woodruff walks through Festival Foods over here on Highway 100. You think anybody recognizes them?
Now, a lot of that has to do with, like, what you just said. The Bucks are the hottest thing right now, and when you're good in the NBA, you're pretty much rock stars. Like, if you look at the Lakers teams with Shaq and Kobe, hell, if Rick Fox was doing an appearance in Los Angeles, everybody would be there. I remember growing up in Illinois, I loved the 95-96 Bulls. I had to, of course, throw that reference out there, but Bill Wennington or Judd Bushler would be signing autographs, and I'd bother my dad to go see it just to say, hey, Bill, hey, Judd. It's a like playing with Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, like, I don't know. I mean, if Sogard signing autographs, yeah. I really don't care.
Well, I mean, there's a couple. I mean, baseball's got that problem. The LPGA, to a lesser extent, you know, they've tried to market their players and, you know, to show that these players are more than just golfers. They want to bring out their personalities. And
I'd go meet some of those chicks.
Well, but you know, still the LPGA is struggling out there. You know, attendance figures struggling, viewership struggling. You know, they try to do a few things and have these little interviews and show a little personality with these girls. Still, people aren't buying it. And baseball, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you do to get Mike Trout and Christian Yelich more on the national focus, but it's just never happened.
I don't know.
The days of Reggie Jackson doing 15 commercials while watching primetime TV, those days are done.
Like, they're trying to get it right with this crappy reality TV, you choose your opponent for the postseason and expanding the postseason. like they're trying to get out there more nationally. But that's the thing. Like if you watch the NBA, there's always there's a random special on a Wednesday night. The NFL just gets it. I mean, the NFL, it's the off season, and they'll just have a random special on the NFL Network, and it'll get higher ratings than most baseball games just to talk about like the top 50 players in Dallas Cowboy history. They just get it. The NFL Honor, the award shows that these organizations.
And I don't know how that switched because baseball. These guys used to be the most recognizable. I mentioned Reggie Jackson. You know, I mean, you see Reggie Jackson was on car commercials, 7-Up commercials. He was always, I mean, you turn on a TV on a Friday night, he was on TV doing a commercial.
Do you think a lot of it,
Pete Rose doing commercials.
Do you think a lot of it has to do like with the player itself? Because like I watch those commercials where Frank Thomas is just walking around the gym and all the chicks are going crazy and he's handing out Blue Chew type pills, but not Blue Chew for people to you know, get their things going on. Like, but you still remember a lot of the guys that you grew up with, like the Frank Thomas or Gorman Thomas or some of these guys. But do you think a lot of that has to do on the player to market themselves?
But Frank Thomas, he wasn't on, I mean, at least nationally in the 90s, maybe down in Chicago he was. I'm sure he was.
Which I don't understand why he's on all those commercials, but that's just an example I thought of.
But, I mean, he wasn't doing national commercials back when he played. You know, somewhere between the 70s and 80s and into the 90s, you know, these baseball players lost their marketability. For whatever reason. I don't know what it was. Hey, if you like sex, you mentioned Blue Chew. BlueChew.com offering men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. So, you know what? You can be recognized. Your lady can be very happy at BlueChew.com. You get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. The Blue Chew, taking on a full or empty stomach. You get online with a Blue Chew affiliated physician at BlueChew.com. They're going to ask you some questions. You better answer them honestly because if everything checks out right, you'll be on your way to a better sex life. These chewables will be shipped directly to your door in discreet business packaging. So not everybody's got to know what's going on with you, man. Discreet packaging, maybe in a brown paper bag or whatever, but it's you know no one's going to know where the package came from. Nobody should care. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor made right here in the United States. Now, here's the deal for you guys. At BlueChew.com, your first order is free when you use the promo code Chuck. You pay the $5 in shipping, and that's it. BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. Your first order is free when you use the promo code Chuck. You pay the $5 in shipping, and that's it. BlueChew, guys, chewables that's going to give you the confidence in bed. Every time I mention the Viagra and the Cialis, it's in there. You need to get this. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew.
We got about 3 minutes left on the show. We go out to the north side. We'll talk with Brandon. Brandon, what's up, man?
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to say about the whole cheating thing. I think cheating is cheating. You know, treat it the same way as PEDs. Suspend all these guys that were on the team for the first 80 games. You know, there's a surplus of players that are in the minor leagues that can come up and play those games. And, you know, if they get caught cheating again, you know, double it. Same way as the PED thing, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I would go a full 162 games. 80 games is fine with me. Hell, 30 games would have been fine.
One year suspension, I'd fine ownership heavily for this. The manager, GM, would ban those guys for life.
Well, they don't think that they should be in any trouble at all.
The manager?
No, the general manager or the front office man.
But the general manager should. If you have your finger on the pulse of your team, you better know how the general manager did not know that his team was cheating.
Right, and you know this.
What are you doing? You're down on the field every day before games.
Especially some of these general managers, you see it. They're very hands-on. How many times that I covered a Brewers game and you go into the clubhouse after the game, and especially if it's a team that's actually contending, how many times I saw a general manager ripping into a manager in that little office and then the media comes in. I mean, I'm thinking of a particular
guy. They're having conversations, probably a player movement.
No, I was in there when.
Well, which one did you see?
All right, so really quick, last season, man, who blew it? It was Craig Kimbrell gets brought in or something like that, and I'm waiting to get into the Cubs clubhouse. You were in the Brewers clubhouse, I believe, covering that aspect. I go in there, and Theo Epstein is just ripping into Joe Maddon in that little office, and then all the reporters come in. Theo just sits there in the chair, stares down Joe, and just shakes his head after every single answer. I think a lot of these guys, not a lot of them, I would argue 40% of them are really hands-on with their team, and if things aren't going the way that they want, or you're not using some of the guys that you went out there and spent money on, they're really hands-on. They go in there and rip these guys. Well, my whole point was that a lot of these GMs, there's nothing that's going on that they don't know about,
well,
right?
They're wrong.
Like, if the Brewers are cheating, Stearns knows about it.
You'll see David Stearns.
Maybe, I don't know.
Around. You'll see him around the clubhouse on occasion, walking through. You'll see him by the dugout before games. So how the Astros front office didn't see this little piece of equipment.
Right.
That was that's dumb. Then you don't. Then are you even? Why are you the general manager if you don't know what's going on with your team?
Right. We got plenty more to talk about coming up tomorrow. It's GM Day. We'll be joined by John Horse, general manager of the Bucks.
8:45.
They're not cheating. We'll also be joined by David Stern, so we can maybe ask him that or something.
At 7:10.
7:10. GM Day coming up on Chuck and Winkler. Also, the return of Bart. I go back behind the booth. Shout out to Sam Schmitz. Did a great job on updates producing the show. Chuck, enjoy your night. I'm out. Chuck and Winkler back tomorrow morning. Bill Michaels.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.